Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our alternative gospel reading for tonight reads, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Jesus knew that his hour was at hand. He knew that in less than 12 hours, he would be hurt and harmed in his body. He knew the lies that he would endure. He knew the mouths that would sneer at him and spit in his face. He knew, and through him were made, the very hands that would strike him in the face. The very arms that would swing the whips and hurl the hammers that would break and pierce his own skin. He knew that in less than 24 hours that he would love his own to the very end. The disciples did not fully understand what was taking place. Peter was still trying to serve Jesus as he, at first, declined to allow Jesus to wash his feet. And all the disciples believed that they could not be the one who would betray Jesus. Even Judas asked, "Is it I, Rabbi?" Everyone was full of good intentions and had thoughts of serving Jesus and God. But that is not the way it would be. Good intentions would lead to betrayal, denial, and desertion. When those intentions sprung from the hearts and minds of sinful disciples. Only Jesus was here for the sake of love. And only Jesus had on his mind to love to the very end. Jesus' very presence in our world was born out of the Father's love for us. Jesus is God's love for the world in very flesh and blood. He is love incarnate. Love subjected Jesus to live among us. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. In the person of Jesus, God's love came into this world that is ruled by sin, death, and the devil. He lived among us who speak ill of our neighbors. God's love dwelt among a people that follow all manner of wicked desires. He saw death. He saw death that our sin leads to. In Jesus, God's love touched our diseased bodies. He spoke to our selfish pride, and he saw our weeping, and he saw our despair. Jesus' love for us, it moved him to tears as he shared in our suffering. Jesus' love moved him to tears as he longed to bring us together into himself. And it moved him to tears as he saw us deal with the effects of death. His love ultimately led him to this night that we remember today. And this night that we remember this evening would lead him to the horrible Friday that we now all call good. And on that Good Friday, the love of God would pour out of the veins of Jesus. And that love would stain that wooden cross. And it would drench the dirt on the hill called Golgotha. And it is there where the love of God stood in our place to deliver us from our oppressors. It is there on Jesus' cross where love would endure the wrath of God that our sins deserved. His love, it brought him to this night. And his love would bring him to the end of his life for the sake of our lives. He is fully God. He is fully man. Jesus is without sin. But love would lead him to pay the price that all of us sinful men could not pay. All of these things were on Jesus' mind as our gospel begins today. He shared his mind and his heart with his disciples over and over again, but they did not have the ears to hear nor the eyes to see. Jesus' heart was set on his disciples and on all who would believe in him because of their word. His heart was on the many. That is, every person who has ever lived, lives and will live. On every person who rightly deserves and deserved temporal and eternal punishment. After the feast of the Passover was prepared, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and having broken it and given it to his disciples, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the diathekes, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." That word, diathekes, can be translated as covenant, as testament, or will. In Hebrews 9:16, which we read, it says, "For where a diatheke, will, is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a diatheke, a will or a testament, it takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive." In a person's will, they include people, charities that they love. And upon their death, all that they have designated, it is given away freely. They hold it no more. And Jesus, out of love, gave all that he had to his disciples. He, in the mystery of Holy Communion, gave the disciples his very body, his very blood. Jesus, out of love, gives himself. He gives all he has. He would tell them that same night that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And when John, the one whom Jesus loved, wrote his gospel, he recalled Jesus saying, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks of my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh," Jesus says, "is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks of my blood," Jesus says, "abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." You see, the Father's love abides in Jesus. And when we receive Jesus in the supper, he and the Father's love abides in us. The disciples didn't fully understand what they were receiving that night that Jesus was betrayed. But after his resurrection, they understood what Jesus gives to the church in the supper of his body and blood. St. Paul would declare, "As often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." What is Jesus' death? It is his love for us. We receive the very body and blood that was laid down out of love for us. The very body and blood that would defeat death for us in his resurrection. We receive the very body and blood that death could not defeat. We confess in our small catechism that the benefits of this eating and drinking are forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. For wherever there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. His love for us brings us life, even in the face of death. It is a beautiful thing when the Lord allows for a person to receive the Lord's body and blood before they pass from this life into the next. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, sin, death, and the powers of the devil, they were rising up from the shadows. The disciples, they would end up running in fear, and one of them would be overtaken by these foes. But here's the thing. In the midst of their struggle and their fear, Jesus, God's love for them, was with them. He was in them. And as long as they did not outright deny Jesus, as Judas did, his love would see them through. They were not alone. Jesus was with them. Jesus, God's love, was in them. And his love ultimately brought them all from life, from death to everlasting life. On this Holy Thursday, in the year of our Lord 2020, it seems as though sin, death, and the devil are raising their ugly heads once again. Pestilence, the devil, and the powers that be are plotting and scheming against the Lord and his anointed one. But we know in the supper that Jesus gives that we have life in the face of death. We have the very life of he who withstood the very wrath of God that went out against our enemies. He who knew no sin became our sin. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have the love of God that he gives to us in this supper, where he gives to us life-giving food and drink. He gives himself. He is for us. Who can be against us? So, what if you get the dreaded disease that our world fears right now? You have Jesus. So what if the world is turned upside down and may never be the same again? You have Jesus. So what if the devil is seeking to use this crisis to work evil in your life and in the life of the world? You have Jesus on your side. And what the devil means for evil, death, and death, Jesus always uses to call people out of darkness into his marvelous light. You have Jesus in the waters of baptism. You have Jesus in his holy word proclaimed to you. And you have Jesus in his very flesh and blood, in the supper that the church eats and drinks. We have Jesus. We have God's love. What can anyone or anything do to us? Jesus says, whoever believes in me, even though he dies, he lives. If you do not know Jesus, and you just so happen to be listening or watching this, I want you to know that Jesus came into this world because God loves you. The church is not some exclusive club. It is for all who, by the Holy Spirit, recognize that they are sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world. He came to save us. Jesus is for you, and the pastors at our church would love to tell you about the forgiveness of sins in the gift of baptism, where sinners are first united with he who died and rose again to take away sin, to take away the sin that separates us from a loving God. Now on this Holy Thursday, we do not know the details about what is really going on in the world. Any more, if you think about it, any more than the disciples did on that first Holy Thursday. But Jesus knows. And just as he was on that first Holy Thursday, he is still giving himself in love to the church. And just as he was on that first Holy Thursday, Jesus is still calling sinners like you and I out of death into eternal life. He is in control, just as he was on that first Holy Thursday. And because we are loved by him who is in control, we have nothing to fear. In the name of Jesus, amen.